Is that all right for anybody in here? We just want to dance and clap our hands in Jesus' name. So we're covered by the blood. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. Come on and clap your hands. Clap your hands.
It's KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitted all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope
for all I do. We thank you now for the time of your word. We pray that you, by your Spirit, will take the text afresh and open it up and give us new revelation and insight. And then, God, give us understanding as to take us to another level. God, we again thank you for the privilege of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Turn your Bibles to St. Luke chapter 15 and stand on your feet for the reading of the word of the Lord. I want to take a special look at the father of the story that we hear so oftentimes told about the lost son. But our look today is on the father who remains faithful. Luke chapter 15, we want to begin at verse 11. And the Bible says, "And he said," speaking of Jesus, "A certain man had two sons. And the young of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And lest I not tell you the whole story, let me keep reading. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father had killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he, the other brother, was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I think the text speaks for itself. And so oftentimes we hear the story of the one son, the prodigal son, the younger son, in his rash thinking and behavior, ran out and spent all of the living that he had been given of his father, his proper portion, and yet he did it desiring to go and know the world, and yet he did not realize at the time when the father granted his wish, when he went to the father and asked him for his portion, that the father had lived long enough to know certain things about life, and to know that when you obey God's word, you're blessed. When you disobey it, you're cursed. He had learned that even in time, there is a point in time where parents have got to understand, I have done my part, now it's up to you to do your part. He understood that when a person is bent on doing something their way, all you're doing is delaying the action of what they are bent on, as long as you restrain them in the house. When you train a person and you teach a person and you sow into a person's life and you instill values and virtues and all of the instructions that you are able to do, then it is incumbent upon that child to practice that which he or she knows is right. But how many of you know that once you have given the best that you can, that you must come to that point and say, well, now, Lord, I've done my part. I'm committing them to your care. Now, you've got to know this, parents, and parents need to know this. Children are going to make some mistakes. But isn't it good to know that if they make the mistakes, that God would allow you to still be around when they fall? Pick them up again like you did when they were trying to learn how to walk. Isn't it good that the Lord would let you still be around, not to say I told you so, but to say that's the principles and the teachings and the instructions that I have given to you again have come to pass. And you know, how many of us have lived long enough to hear some of those crazy things our mamas and daddies have told us, and we just thought they were the most idiotic things, the most outdated, backdated thoughts of antiquity. I mean, they don't know we're living in a cybernetic age. This wasn't going on when they don't know what I'm dealing with. But you know, there are some things that never change. Matter of fact, the writer said that there's nothing new under the sun. The devil just disguises and repackages them in a different way. But it's the same old game. It's the same old trick. It's the same old person behind all of that stuff. So when you learn certain things, you just understand that you're able. Saints know now, the world might not, but saints know that the devil don't always show up in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. Saints know that he can be transformed into the most beautiful image there is. Saints know that he can hide underneath the cloak of a Christian's covering. Saints know that he can be in the person of your boss, in the person of your friend, in the person of your family. Matter of fact, you can even be sleeping with the enemy. Saints know that there is a difference, and it is all about the character, the conduct, and the spirit of a person that reveals whether or not he or she is really who they say they are. And so this father had shared much of this. He felt so well comfortable with the fact that he had equipped his son well enough to make the right choices, and whether he made the right choices or not was left up to him. But he knew he was bent on living a life that was going to bring him destruction. But there was nothing he could do about it other than let it happen while he was yet alive. So that's the reason why he did not, in my own estimation of the situation, wait until he died to give him his part. He knew he was going to do this, but can I tell you something else? He not only knew his younger son, but he knew his older son. And parents know their children. They know their temperament. They know their character. They know their flaws. They know their strengths. They know who and what they are. And they can pretty much tell you what one will do and what another will not do. What one will say, what another won't say, how one is aggressive and powerful, other is very laid back and cool, other might have a different, he knows all of this. And so he knew that if he had waited till he died and then the will had gone through succession and all of that, that his brother, after he would have messed up, never would have taken him back again. So he knew his other son as well. Let's go back to the text, because I want you to see this today in a different light. We have called the prodigal son and prodigal because he was extravagant and he was very loose with his money. He was one who lived life on the highest echelon, and he did it in a wasteful kind of way. But it almost can be said of the father that he was prodigal also, because he gave the best to his son and he was extravagant with his giving. But not just with his giving, he was extravagant with his love and his mercy with this son, because the other son rejects the way that he treated him when he was too blind to see how good he had been to him. And how many of you know sometimes you really can't see the forest because you're right up there on the trees? Sometimes when you're far away from it enough, you can appreciate it. But when you are receiving it, some folk just get used to the stuff and take advantage of what they have then taken for granted. And they never really see how blessed they are until they lose what they have or it has been distanced from them. Now let's go back to the text again and see what the Bible says. I want you to see this. I want to just move beyond the younger son's activities and reach the point where he has landed flat on his face. The Bible says, verse 15, and when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain, longed for, have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, when he got to the point, here he was a Jew by nature and nationality, and knew that swine or pigs were forbidden meat or to even be dealt with by any upstanding and orthodox Jew, that he went against all of the teachings of his father. He went against all of the principles. He went against all of the things that he knew to be right and a part of what he shared coming up and was reared in. And so he got to the point where he had become so degraded in his thinking as well as his actions Ephesians that he was even willing to eat not only around pigs and service pigs, but the food that the pigs did eat. So look at what the Bible says again. And when he came to himself. Now, that is a transitional statement, my brothers and sisters, that makes the difference in people's lives. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you think you know and how far that you go. That reaches a point when you come back to the reality of the teachings and the principles that you know. When the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he grows older, he will not depart from that training. When he grows to the point where he is mature, he will not turn from that training. And it is not at the point when you are legally declared a man or a woman that you become a man or a woman, because you got some folk who are way far past the legal age before they ever become a man or a woman. And some reach maturity and are able to deal with certain things even before they reach the legal age of what declares them a man or a woman. But here, when it talks about reaching that point where you are mature enough to hold on to the principles and hold on to the instructions and hold on to the things that are real, then that's when you realize that you will not depart from that path, because your eyes are now open to see what it was that your mama and daddy were trying to instill in you. You have gone through life enough and you have experienced some of those things to realize some of those things are just as real as they spoke them to you, but you had to experience some of them to know how real they really were. And then you reach that point where if you start saying, well, they said this would happen if I did this, and it has happened. They say this would happen if I did this. Then you start coming to the point where you say, listen, they said a whole lot of other things would happen too. I don't want to be foolish enough to have to experience all of that to see whether or not they're telling the truth on that. When you begin to open up your mind and your spirit and become subjected to the word and the will and the way of God, then you begin to realize, as God gives you illumination and understanding, that it is real just as they have said. Principles, teachings, practices, etc., and the outcome, be they positive or negative, will be determined by how you make choices. So he comes to himself, the word says. And the Bible says that he says, as he recollects about his father's house and his father's generosity and his father's conduct in living and in business, he says, how many servants, hired servants of my father's have bread, listen to this, and enough to spare. Which said a lot about his father, that his father was a generous man. His father was one who shared in all things in a decent way, so that even the servants were blessed to be servants of his father. He didn't rip them off. He didn't try and get them for minimum wage. He blessed them so that they didn't have a need to want to be any other place other than in his employ. So look at what the Bible says again. He says, and I perish with hunger. The servants of my father are faring better than the son of my father. Listen to what he says. I will arise. There's a point where you make up in your mind, daddy was right, and I'm going to put my pride to the side, and I'm going to go back and tell him I have sinned against the heavenly father and against thee, and am no more worthy to be thy son. He makes up his mind. You are right. Now, that was something in him that knew he couldn't do what he wanted to do and remain in daddy's house. That was something in him, because he knew his daddy's character and he knew his position and he knew all that he stood for. So he knew he couldn't do what he wanted. Matter of fact, his father was so stable, stout, and strong that folk in the community knew his father and his standards. So he had to run far enough away where folk didn't know where he had come from or who his connections were. Because folk in the olden days knew that if you came from your good stock, they just expected good things from you. And that's why back then, when you were and you went and you were trying to grow up and you hung out, whether you were friends or trying to call somebody, the parents of the child would want to know, well, who your people is. I wish I had a witness here. And see, folk knew folk in the community, and they knew character. And if your daddy wasn't right, it was hard for you to get in certain circles, because they figured that the fruit don't fall far. Come on, help me, somebody. And folk, listen at this, they judged you by your father and his standards and his stance in the community and what he represented. And so many times, children were denied privileges because the father wasn't all he was supposed to be. And if your father was the town drunk, it brought embarrassment upon the entire family. Children laughed and mocked and played, and adults did not have the kind of respect because they know you didn't have the kind of solid home bringing and uprearing that you should have had. And it just brought upon infractions in every area of life because of the father's stand in the community. So here, this man was so reputable that he had to go far away. And so knowing after he had missed it so bad and that his father was correct, he comes back to his father and he says to his father what he had been dealing with in his heart that had convicted him. Now it would seem, and this is again to bring back the scripture that says when you train up a child in the way that he should go, he will not depart from that training. It brings to us the understanding, and you've got to understand, when you do your best and put him in God's hand, the word didn't say they wouldn't stray away. The word didn't say that they would not try the world. The word did not say that they would not venture into another direction. It simply meant that when they got their look and when they did their testing, they would soon come to the reality that this is not the right way, this is not the best way, and they would realign themselves with what they know is right. See, the devil would make you think that, well, I did my best. I brought them up and reared them in church and blah, blah, blah. And now they've gone astray and so forth. I've taught them the word and trained them and prayed for them and they've gone off. No, there is a point in time when they went to try and spread their own wings. And don't ever forget that you too were young and you did your own thing. It's amazing how we forget we were young and we tried some stuff too. I mean, you got to understand that there is a point where you got to let them put into practice everything that you have taught them. And you can't do that in the house. You got to get out of the house in order to do that. And so when they fall, the position should always be, I'm not here to bring condemnation on you. I'm here to help you to stand in the truth that you have known and have been taught in and to operate in. So when he comes to his father, let's look at the father now. He is one faithful and hopeful because he knew his teachings were not going to be in vain. How did he know that? Look at what the text says. I want you to see that. Verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Now, if his father saw him, it meant, number one, he was looking for him. And the reason he was looking for him every day of his life, when he realized that he probably calculated, said, yes, yes, he done got down, he done spent all he had. Now he's dealing with the fact that he said, but daddy told me this was going to happen, so he going to wait a little while because he's stubborn. He got his own mind. He's going to do things his own way. He going to wait a little while. And he probably said, now it's about the time now. He going to be ready to come on back home because he is used to the finer things in life now. I wish I had a witness here. I got news for you. Hunger will make you come to your senses. When you used to sleeping in a king-size bed and having servants serve you, a hog's pen ain't no place for those of us who've been used to being comfortable. When you used to being in air condition, you just can't get used of that wind blowing every now and then. It's a whole new change. I'm like Father say, I know what he's used to, so right about now, he ought to be on his way back. And every day his brother be out there, daddy, what you looking for? Oh, that's all right, son, just go on, take care of business. Servants come out and they, sir, can we help you? Are you looking for something? Do you want us to stand here? No, I'm going to stay here because I know what I have coming for me. And listen, you've got to be faithful enough to know God backs up his word. Look at this father standing. I know my son messed up. I know he missed it. I know he strayed away, but I have invested the word of God in him. I've stood up and walked right before him, and I know sooner he's coming back home. Look at his faith and his faithfulness. How you gonna say you looking for somebody and you ain't even looking for him? The father stood there because he knew his son was returning home, and when his son came back home, he was amazed to find out that his father, because you know what the devil will do? The devil will put thoughts in your mind. And when the devil is beating you and when the devil is trying to break you, he's not going to do anything that will give you the better side or the upper side or the best view of reality. He always gives you the darkest, the most dirtiest, the most lowest, the most cruelest, the most meanest, the most unlikeliest of situations and scenarios to keep you from moving forward into that that is right. Let me help you understand something. How many times had you made up in your mind that, you know, you were going to, let's say, the dentist, and you had a toothache and you kept putting off because you know he was going to probably tell you this, that, and the other. You was going and you said, Lord, last time I went 20 years ago. And, you know, technology has changed since then and everything else. And it looked like the dentist took a pair of pliers and, you know, didn't even dig in your mouth good enough, because when he put the pliers on the tooth, and I know they weren't pliers, but that's what they were in your mind, you could feel the ply hit the tooth, and from that moment, it was pain. Looked like they strapped you in the chair, got there, put their knee in your chest, and you know, you conjure up some thoughts in your mind that really didn't happen. So now, thinking about going back there based on your last experience, the devil has made you believe it's far worse than what it is, and when you go there and find out now that folk don't do things the way they used to, they have modernized technology. Technology has changed and so forth, and you go there and find out that it was nothing like what you thought it was, and then you think to yourself, I suffered all this time unnecessarily because I thought it was going to be like it used to be. Went to the doctor, going up to get a physical checkup, so forth, had pains, and Lord, had a little chippy, Lord, I might be having a heart attack, Jesus. And all it was some gas from all that old stuff you had eaten, you shouldn't have been eating when you ate it. I mean, you know, devil makes it worse, and you find out it is bad. I wish I had some real people talking to me. But whatever he had been told by the devil, the Bible says he came to himself. And even if he said to himself, listen, your dad is going to tell you, you are no longer my son. You have messed up my name. You have done things that I cannot tolerate and blah, blah, blah. Whatever it was, he said, listen, I'm going to already take a demotion. I'm going to make it as bad as it can be. I'm going to tell him, I know I ain't worthy to be your son no more. I ain't even coming back looking for sonship. I'm looking for a job. Can you hire me? I've got a good reference. I come from good stock. I've made some mistakes. I've messed up, but I ain't looking for no favor. Can you just hire me? Because you take care of your servants. I wish I had a witness here. I just want to be a servant. I've messed up to be your son. I ain't even trying to play you, Daddy. I just want to work for you. And the daddy hears him and doesn't respond to him. Listen at this. Listen. I want you to go back to the text, because I want you to see the father again. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Now, why did the father have compassion on him? Because he made up in his mind, I don't care what he's done, how far he's fallen, how bad he's missed it. If he's got sense enough to come home, he ain't that bad off. Y'all ought to hear me here. And I told him what was going to happen if he chose certain paths and if he went down certain roads. But this is what family is all about. When you miss it, when you fall short, when you come to yourself and you want to get yourself back together again, you need some folk who will say, just as you are. I know, listen, he was hurting better than anybody could even know. His pride was affected. Everything that he had been given had been lost. Everything that he stood for had been smeared. And he was hurting more than anybody other than the father could identify. And so the father had compassion, and by having compassion, it meant he felt his pain in his heart. That's what compassion is, feeling somebody else's pain in your heart. And when you feel somebody else's